Hi, this is Chris Cluey, and you're listening to Best Threesome Ever.
Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
Here we go, Best Threesome Ever, episode 53, brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan. I'm Nick.
No, I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
Yay. Here we are once again in the morning.
In the morning.
That'd be dumb. I literally
Rob and Kevin in the morning.
I literally woke up like an hour ago. I'm so tired.
I feel sad for you. I've been. Oh my God, your hair is so long.
I know. Get a cut, you hippie.
No, don't do that. Hang on to it. It's pretty. I think you're pretty.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make the hippie comment because, you know, long hair.
Thank you.
Been a while.
Has it?
Since we've been here. No, it hasn't really
been. It's been a while.
It's been like 2 weeks, right? Something like that. So Golden Globes happened.
Last time.
Yeah, they did. What do we think? Yes, no, me?
I did not watch them.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
I watched the highlights, and that was all I cared
about.
Yeah,
same. Watched Natalie Portman be one of the greatest human beings on the face of the planet.
Right?
And Oprah Winfrey kick off her presidential campaign.
Everybody throwing a fit about Ewan McGregor supposedly dissing Minnesota. It's like he just made some offhand comment about our over-accentuated accents in the TV show Fargo.
Oh, sure.
Which...
That's North Dakota.
Right. Yeah. But it takes, it's North Dakota, but everybody associates it with Minnesota.
For some reason, yeah.
And much like in the movie, the TV show, they
over-exaggerate the accent because it's funnier that way.
Right. And so Ewan McGregor had to learn how to speak Minnesotan, and he made some comment about that crazy accent or that whatever he said.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. It's like
I'm just going to bask in the attention.
Right. Yeah. And then everybody was like, oh, he's got a beard. He must want to be doing an Obi-Wan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ewan McGregor has never had a beard ever before other than for Obi-Wan.
Not often, anyways. But, yeah, no, I get what you mean. Still, I would be down with an Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan solo film. That'd be great.
Well, there was that, and then there was questions if he was going to appear in the solo movie.
Solo?
But it wouldn't make any sense because he would... it wouldn't make any sense for him to meet Solo, but it would make sense for him to meet Chewbacca because he already would know and be familiar with the Wookiees. Because Yoda was Chewbacca was obviously in the prequels, so.
I can see them doing it because Han obviously made it clear that he's been to the Mos Eisley Cantina before.
Right.
And that, it's certainly possible that, he could just be in kind of a little drive-by scene.
Yeah, I'd kind of be okay with that.
He's got to go to port sometime and pick up supplies and chicks.
Power converters.
Just have Ian McGregor walk through the background of the scene and just go, Tinsel, get the fuck out, and move on. That's what I want.
Sounds pretty classic him.
Yeah,
I'm cool with it.
Also, I wanted to mention really quickly, I don't know if either of you saw this picture, but the picture of Tom Hanks being the most badass waiter.
No.
No? Well, mm-hmm. Of course you didn't see it. I know.
I did not see
Tom Hanks, and it's weird.
I kind of understand why I'm flabbergasted by it, but I kind of understand at the same time.
I don't get it at all. I don't understand.
I don't have to.
But there's a picture that was floating around where Tom Hanks is carrying a tray of martinis to a table, and it's kind of adorable, really.
Mm. Well, James Franco won.
Yeah, hang on, I got a list of the winners here.
Yeah, so do I.
If you want.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Right.
Go
so for Best Motion Picture, we have in drama, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
It does look good. I want to see it.
I do too, but it'll be one of those films that I end up more than likely watching on DVD.
No, same.
Yeah. I feel...
Something that I can just sit down and watch.
Yeah, and I kind of feel for me, like I have to be in the right mood to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, but it does look great. It does look good.
And for Best Musical or Comedy, it went to Lady Bird, another one of those films, very Juno-esque.
Yeah.
And it's another one of those films that I would probably just pick
That's
up.
That's the one with Saoirse Ronan, right?
Yes.
Okay. I do like her.
Then Best Actor in a Motion Picture Drama, actor Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour as Winston Churchill. And then Francis McDormand for 3 Billboards.
It's his first Golden Globe.
Yeah, okay.
He's won a lot of awards, but he's never won a Golden Globe.
Has he ever won an Oscar?
No.
I don't think he has.
No.
Let's get him one.
That's kind of what I was hoping with this Churchill movie. I don't want to say he's due, but he's
I don't actually think he's due.
I hate that term, but he definitely deserves one. If not for maybe that piece of work, but for all of the work he's ever done.
I have a certain distaste for body of work Oscars that a lot of people get, and yet every once in a while I'll see one come along that I'm okay with. Like the guy who got the soundtrack for Hateful Eight a few years back. He got the Oscar for the soundtrack for Hateful Eight. It was the guy who did all of the spaghetti western music, everything. He basically defined the genre musically. And he got an Oscar for Hateful Eight. And while I didn't think it was his best work in that, I'm okay with him getting a body of work Oscar just because...
It was time.
I was going to say... Yeah, no. I see what you're doing there. But no, I was more along the lines of, you know, if you were a person who innovated an entire genre, I allow for an exception in that case.
Sure.
But yeah. So best performance in a motion picture, musical, or comedy, James Franco got the Disaster Artist, got the award for Disaster Artist as Tommy Wiseau. And Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird as Lady Bird. I somehow fucked her name up still. I've learned for years how to pronounce her damn name. And Saoirse Ronan.
Yep.
Yes. Anyways. Supporting actor, drama, musical, or comedy, Sam Rockwell in 3 Billboards, and Allison Janney in I, Tonya, and I called it just because Allison Janney wins everything.
I'm also happy that Sam Rockwell got a Golden Globe.
I appreciate what Sam Rockwell does in films. I haven't seen this, so I can't say for certain whether or not it was earned, but I can say that I like him in most everything else.
He's certainly going to be the only person who was in the first Ninja Turtles movie to have a kind of award like that.
He was in the first Ninja Turtles movie?
Yes, he was.
He sure was.
Yeah.
He was the one showing Danny around in the Foot Clan Club.
Yep.
Oh my God, he was. He totally was.
Danny.
That was amazing.
Wally.
It was Wally.
God damn it.
Doesn't the actor that played Casey Jones, doesn't he have a Golden Globe?
I know he's had a decent career. I don't know if he has ever won a Golden Globe, but I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the name of that actor.
Oh, not the Megan Fox one, the original one.
Yeah.
No, not the Sean Astin one, the original one there.
Yeah. All right, so anyways, moving on. Best director, Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water. Best screenplay, Martin McDonagh for 3 Billboards. Best original score, Alexandre Desplat for The Shape of Water. And then best original song, This Is Me from The Greatest Showman.
He was nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award, but did not win it.
Yeah. That's it. But he hasn't won anything. Major awards?
No major wins awards. On major awards. But that's major the biggest award that he was nominated for. It was for Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. And it was Curious Case of Benjamin Button. So it wasn't even him. It was for everyone, kind of as a whole.
Right.
And then moving on to television. Best series, drama, Handmaid's Tale, and musical or comedy, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Which is awesome!
I've heard.
Oh my God, watch it, both of you. Fucking put it in your eyeballs.
Where can you find
it? It's on Amazon Prime.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
What?
Get
it.
No, I have Amazon
Prime. Oh, you have it.
It's incredible. It's about this a female comedian in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely wonderful. She's so funny.
Okay.
And Alex Borstein from the Family Guy and Mad TV, she kind of plays her agent, as it were.
Sure.
There's quite a few kind of good cameos in there. Gilbert Gottfried is in the first episode.
Awesome.
So are tits.
So are Gilbert Gottfried's tits?
Oh, that'd be awesome, but no. But he's working at he's working as like the MC of like a...
Oh, a 50s like style comedy club, which of course were all basically burlesque outfits.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pasties go flying because they didn't have the adhesive back then.
Because hilarity.
Hooray!
And boobies.
But now I want to... God. In my head, it's the worst thing. Hearing Gilbert Gottfried talk dirty.
Or it's
because of the 50 Shades of Grey thing?
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things on the face of the planet.
Well, that and just the thought of Gilbert Godfrey waving around tits and talking dirty. Like, yeah. that's what's happening right
now. But no, not only is this to YouTube, this is to everyone listening right now. Watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's only 8 episodes. Yeah, Crystal and I crushed through it in basically a day. So.
Hour episodes?
Yep.
Hmm. So, moving on from there, best performance in a television series drama, actor Sterling K. Brown in This Is Us, and Sterling K. Brown, I thought, was amazing in The People versus O.J. Simpson a couple years back.
This Is Us, is that the one with, what's his face from Heroes?
Yes.
Andy Moore?
Okay. Yes. I watched that one. Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah.
I don't watch any of those.
No, it's
no, I believe you, that's what it is. I know it's something complicated.
Yeah, I know it's something Nick wouldn't be able to say.
Moving on.
Best actress in television series drama, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale.
Naturally.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she's deserved so many awards for years, and I'm glad she gets that one. Best performance, musical, or comedy, actor, Aziz Ansari. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that right now, but whatever. The internet is a thing. Very complicated feelings about that whole story right now. And then, the woman who plays Mrs. Maisel, Rachel Brosnahan.
Yeah,
I hope I'm right.
Something like that.
I went phonetically. I don't know.
I think that's what it is.
Brosnahan.
I think so.
Okay, cool. Rachel Brosnahan for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
She earned it. Oh God, she is good.
Okay. Dude, I have to watch it still. But yeah, best performance, miniseries or television film, actor. Ian McGregor, Fargo, Nicole Kidman, Big Little Lies. Supporting performance in series, miniseries, or film, Alexander Skarsgård for Big Little Lies, and Laura Dern for Big Little Lies. Wow, they won a lot this year. And best miniseries or television film, Big Little Lies. Impressive.
And Greatest Showman got original song.
Yeah, I covered that already.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I heard
no,
it.
No, it's okay.
Specifically the big power number from the
This Is Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one that won. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know.
Classic.
Love you. Love you, bitch.
Oh, wow.
What?
So, we're supposed to get a Han Solo trailer, speaking of Han Solo.
We were supposed to last Monday.
Yeah. No Solo trailer.
It still hasn't happened, and we're 4 months and some change away from the movie.
I'm getting really nervous about this movie.
I am too. But I mean, the cast is good, and Ron Howard doesn't suck. So, right. While I'm nervous,
I am.
All the cast is saying, "No, just seriously, guys. I know you're nervous right now, but this movie is super good."
And of course, they are. They're contractually obligated to do so.
Yeah, but when Donald Glover says it, I believe him.
Why?
He just seems like a genuine person.
Okay. I think he's an actor just like everyone else. Because guess what? He's an actor like everyone else.
You can be an actor and still be a genuine person.
Sure. That happens.
Like Will Smith. And
if it was Woody Harrelson or Alan Aldrich or whatever the hell his name is.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Who cares?
No, I'm enjoying pronouncing names. Oh, yeah,
okay, but I mean, A, like I said, it's Ron Howard. B, when I watched Donald Glover say it, and he sounded genuine.
Okay. I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm real nervous about this. I hope we see something. I'm worried that we're going to see the two director problem that we had in Justice League. I'm worried. I'm real worried.
I'm not. It's a standalone film, so it's not. I don't think it probably will have some little significance in the entire scheme of things, but it's being a standalone movie.
Standalone prequel at that.
Yeah. I'm not too overly concerned. I mean, I'm going to enjoy it regardless. I'm sure there'll be a lot of action scenes, and.
There will also be a lot of actions.
There will be a lot of actions.
There will be.
Dialogues.
What? I have faith in Ron Howard that he steered in the right direction. And I think what the Kathleen Kennedy and the whole their whole view on the Star Wars universe right now is very good. And I do believe that they're making movies just to make movies and to really, you know, we just bought something new and now we're going to play with it. I trust the direction that they're heading with these movies, so I'm not. I mean, even if it's bad, I'm going to be like, we had the prequels, so I mean, really, long scheme of things in the Star Wars universe, it can't get much worse than that.
I don't think that's fair to say, but okay. Yeah, I think it certainly could get worse than that. It's possible.
It's unlikely, though. I think most humans have learned their mistake from what can happen in a prequel for Star Wars. But it kind of goes back to the fact that it's Ron Howard. Even his shittiest stuff was at least okay.
We did see tits and splash. Just wanted to mention that there are tits and splash.
There sure are. It's PG, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and not even like, what was that? No,
full on boobs.
Yeah, it's boobs.
Oh, Daryl Hannah.
Hot Daryl Hannah. I remember that TV. That movie used to be shown on TV.
Well, I mean, with some sense, but yeah,
the breast assist out,
right?
Yeah,
but still, yeah, splash. So yeah, so no solo trailer yet. Hopefully soon.
Soon, here's hoping. I'm hoping. I don't know. I don't know it to be good, but
right. Well, hopefully by the time this airs, maybe we'll get one. Maybe we'll get one.
Watch, we'll get one tomorrow,
probably,
and we'll. We're going to be cranky as fuck because we release.
Because seriously, Tuesdays. Like every time we record, like a really big trailer comes out like the fucking next day.
Yeah, within 24 to 48 hours is usually something. Yeah.
And especially if we say, why haven't we seen this yet?
Exactly.
Well, motherfuckers. Yeah, no, it's just like, seriously, have you checked your house for bugs from Marvel, Disney, and DC? Because seriously.
Probably very well could be. Yep. Bugged. From one of them.
We're too whittle for that.
Okay, as long as it's not like Rush, I take it back. That movie was not very good.
Rush? Oh.
Wait, which?
The one with Thor as the race car driver.
There's a couple movies called Rush. I was making sure.
Are we also including Willow in this? Because, I have a really unpopular opinion for you about Willow.
The movie Willow? Don't you, what, do you hate it? You don't like it?
I don't hate it. I just don't like it. It's a movie. It has Val Kilmer.
It's such an enjoyable movie.
P.S. I watched Batman Forever yesterday.
Yeah, he's a really good Batman. Joel Schumacher ruined the series single-handedly. But that didn't stop Val Kilmer from being a decent Batman.
He was a decent... Okay, I liked him a lot as Bruce Wayne. But not
baby.
So much as Batman.
But like in a suit, he looked like Batman. He had a Batman face. He was a good Batman. He just... had bullshit to deal with. Imagine Val Kilmer in his prime, in his heyday, as Batman in a Chris Nolan Batman movie. I think he would have knocked it the fuck out of the park.
That might have been good.
And you know who agrees with me? Bob Kane. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's hard to argue with you when you call out a dead man, so
it's... Yeah. Take that.
Like... Willow was you forced me to simply drop the argument because you invoked someone who can't refute their claim.
Cha-ching!
There you go.
Fuck you.
Willow was a good movie. I liked Willow. I enjoy it. I thought about watching it again. I was like, I should watch Willow.
I think I should probably watch it again once just to, confirm my suspicions.
Because, like, if you watch something when you're a little bit younger and it confuses you and you don't really like it because it confuses you, or just something about it isn't right, like Dark Crystal.
Yeah, but I've gone back and watched...
Exactly. Like, you have to go back and watch it, which I do every few years of Dark Crystal. I'm like, maybe this time. And by the end, I'm like, nope.
Are you going to go see it in the theaters? The re-release of it in the theaters?
No. Oh,
wait, the reboot or an anniversary re-release?
The anniversary re-release of...
Fuck no.
No.
Okay. Oh, why?
It sounds
why,
awful.
Why spend sounds... money to see something I know I'll hate?
Yeah.
Now, if they reboot it like they say they're going to, or do a sequel or whatever the fuck it is they're planning on doing,
I thought it was a Netflix thing.
I will give it a chance, absolutely, because so many of my friends love it.
Yeah. It was, for me, it was just a childhood thing that I loved, and I got caught up in the magic of it, minus the scary fucking Skeksis fucking things.
What magic?
I was a kid. I don't know.
That's how I feel about Gandalf.
Oh, sure.
What magic? All you did was cast fairy lights a couple of times. Fuck you, Gandalf. Fire a fucking firebolt.
right?
Lazy piece of shit.
I don't know. There was just something about it that I really enjoyed.
Both is the world's greatest bullshit artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks.
But yeah, no, I... Dark Crystal, man. Man.
Also, Willow had Kevin Pollak and Dan Aykroyd as two little sassy-ass little fucking... what were they?
He'll get there.
Little thingies. Little people. Little elf thing. Whatever they were.
Okay. I genuinely don't remember them in this movie.
They were the little things that were following Willow around. The two people that kept trying to steal the baby.
We stole the baby! Oh, that's right.
It was Kevin Pollak and Dan Aykroyd.
They were basically Pain and Panic. Was that the name for Hercules? Yeah. They were basically them.
Yeah.
Which I recently discovered that's Matt Frewer behind that voice.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bobcat Goldthwait and Matt Frewer.
Everybody knows that one.
Also, happy late birthday to Matt Frewer.
Sure.
I enjoy him and stuff.
I was watching Graham Norton last night, and I realized that the voice of Dobby is Toby Jones.
Yeah.
Who is, well, I didn't realize, well, like, I've heard the name and I've seen his name and I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? And then you see him and you're like, oh, it's that guy. He was the doctor in Winter Soldier, the evil doctor, and he was one of the announcers in Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was the voice of Dobby.
Yeah.
It was quite enjoyable. It was the episode where it was him, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Ryan Reynolds, and Will Smith, and it was right around the time that Deadpool was coming out. It was the episode I was watching.
It's a hell of a lineup on a
Talk Graham
show.
Norton. Graham Norton gets lineups.
No, I know he does.
But it's really so good funny. Ones. That show is good. Anyways, so no solo trailer.
No solo. Drink.
Okay.
And Kevin, you want to talk about Black Lightning?
Yeah. How was it?
Very good. Awesome. It suffers from many CW-isms, but any CW show will. But other than that, it was very, very good. I'm highly disappointed it's not part of the Arrowverse. I think that could be fun, but I also get that they would want this to kind of stand on its own.
I know.
No, I get that.
I know very little about Black Lightning. DC,
mm-hmm.
late.
He very, very, like, even as comic book goes, he was a very early black superhero.
Right, but he was in the late 70s?
No.
60s, I think.
Late 60s.
Black Lightning? My ass. Hang on.
I don't know. I was guessing.
So anyway, so basically it's about the character. He's retired from being a super, but then he is forced out of retirement to save the day. And
against apparently the world's dopest albino gangster.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and watch dude it. Looks super cool.
Yeah, watch it. It's watch it, and then on the next podcast we can actually have a little discuss about it.
Does it seem like it's serialized more like Netflix versus DC Arrowverse style shows? Or does it still suffer from Monster of the Week type stuff?
I don't know. It's only been the one.
It's only been the one? Okay.
I think they are setting up a main antagonist, but I won't know quite yet. I'm hoping it's not, Villain of the Week. I hope it's more serialized like a Netflix show.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hmm.
Okay,
With it only being one episode, I cannot give you that synopsis yet.
Black Lightning number one, 1977.
Oh,
yeah.
But I thought it was 60s.
April 1977.
I'm late today. I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. It's weird.
I was going to say something.
Oh, and his outfit is so 70s. Of course it is. I love it.
Oh, yeah. With the collar and the real low-cut V-neck, like Falcon had it, Luke Cage had it.
I was going to say, he is DC's Luke Cage.
I was going to say, he is very much DC's Luke Cage.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is how many the black supers have...
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, Rob.
Sorry.
How many black supers have electricity powers?
Hmm.
It's a lot of them. It's a very common power arc.
I wonder why.
I wonder why, too. It's like how every seemingly Asian character has purple hair.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the creator, the creator for Black Lightning, Tony Isabella, the writer, was an experienced writer, having done work for the Luke Cage character at Marvel Comics, and was signed on to DC to develop their first starring black character. That's
That's why it looks exactly like him. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I never really did any read any Black Lightning. I knew very, very, very little about him.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really read any Black Lightning solo stuff, but I've read plenty of DC comics where he just comes in and whoops.
Yeah, that's where I kind of knew him from, was his background of other
characters. See, I thought he was part of that Dwayne McDuffie verse, and I'm trying to remember the name of that comic imprint that was then absorbed by DC, but it had Static Shock.
Mm-hmm.
The Dakotaverse.
Yet another black character with lightning powers.
Yes. electricity powers.
People are, I think, hoping that he makes an appearance in the show.
Static Shock?
Yeah.
Oh, like a live action
Static Shock. That would be awesome.
Apparently, there are also new episodes of Star Trek Discovery up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came back.
They're starting the second part.
It's the Mirror Universe half of the season.
What?
Spoiler alert, I guess. So at the end of the first half of this season, it ends with them going to this
unknown
area.
Yeah.
They're in an alternate dimension. It's a Mirror Universe where Starfleet is actually at the Terran Empire.
I feel that every single Star Trek always has to do this mirror universe.
And no, everybody doesn't have
goatees.
Because they should every time.
No, I want them to all have goatees.
And I don't want to, there's like this emperor who rules over everything, and they're super cool. There are people who are alive who are not alive in the other universe. Sura, the first officer.
Okay.
He is basically humans hate aliens. It's very much the Republican version of Starfleet. And so they're kind of slaves. So it's basically humans versus a Starfleet of Klingons, Vulcans, and Dorians, and Vivisimbums.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember the name of the species. They're in a few episodes of The Next Generation. They look kind of Klingon-y. They have the kind of proboscis fangs coming out of the sides of their mouth.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Very, very cool so far.
Awesome.
The captain of the Discovery in the Mirror Universe, because it turns out that a la Ninja Turtles 3, they swapped places. So now the evil Discovery is in the good universe, and the good Discovery is in the evil universe. And the captain of the Discovery is Cadet Tilly. And her nickname is Captain Killy. Because she is ruthless, and she, like, her hair is this long, kind of punky, asymmetrical, blonde to red ombre thing. Which she looks awesome, and so she's having to mimic this because they're now undercover trying to get home.
Oh, I suppose
it's
can just
like
look.
This have like it started with Jonathan Frakes directed the first episode, and awesome. it just went off. Like this second half of the season so far is off the hook.
Are there all the episodes up, or is it just doing one by
one? They're one by one every Sunday. Okay. So new episode on tonight. Very excited to watch after the big game.
So Graham is
he hates it so much.
I know he doesn't. I know he hates
it. I don't get it.
I know he hates it, but I'm not gonna say that he's downloading them or anything, yeah. But I hope he is. So I haven't checked that.
Well, otherwise I have CBS. I have the app. So
oh.
Anything you can use mine.
All right, sweet.
Good. I didn't say that CBS. Please don't come after me.
So yeah. So new Star Trek.
Don't sue me either, CBS.
Yeah, and it's like, and he does have some very valid complaints. Like there is no reason whatsoever that this place couldn't take that this show couldn't take place after Voyager. All you have to do is replace Sarek with literally any other fatherly Vulcan. Hell, Tuvok would have been fun.
Tuvok would have been interesting because of how that series ends.
Yeah, but still.
Because Tuvok basically has Vulcan Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's fun. I like it when they go like 30 years into the future to talk to old Tuvok and him being crazy pants, and I love it.
Even if it took place like shortly after Voyager... Like, her whole youth thing could have taken place right before he left on Voyager.
The flashback stuff
could have taken place pre-Voyager, the rest of the show post-Voyager during the Dominion War.
They would have had to, they would have had to change the design of the ship a bit, but yeah.
But only a bit, that's the thing. It's such a new-looking ship, who cares?
Yeah.
It's as if we have better technology than we did in the 90s or 60s.
Right?
Weird.
And which is again why it's sometimes kind of annoying.
Yeah,
because it's that. This is supposed to be continuity in the Prime Universe, but I'm feeling no connection.
It's,
yeah,
to me, it takes place in the Kelvin universe, regardless of what they say. But I like how Tuvok was in Star Trek VI.
I just watched a couple episodes of TNG, and Tuvok shows up. Tim Russ is in an episode.
But where he's Tuvok. I think he's
not.
Just,
he's
no.
He's, but in Star Trek VI, I believe he was a Vulcan. I think he was.
No,
Tuvok.
He was. He well, here's there. There was always a thing about it. He is not a Vulcan. He is. He's just human looking. But there was a theory, and I don't remember if it was confirmed or not, that since Tuvok was Starfleet, but then he went like rogue, Maquis, you know, whatever, that this character is Tuvok undercover. Like he's just playing a human.
But he was undercover with the Maquis. He was never actually Maquis.
Yeah. He right. was always Starfleet.
Right. But I'm just saying that I don't know what their rationale behind it was, but it was like the because they didn't want to have another Vulcan, but they wanted that actor, and they I don't know. Anyways, there's
I'm waiting for him to show up in Discovery. Like I'm pretty sure he's under contract to be in every Star Trek show.
Probably.
Oh, I hope so.
But Rainn Wilson from The Office was in a couple of episodes
as
he was
Mudd, right?
Yeah, and he was brilliant. He was so much fun in these episodes. Yeah, I absolutely adored him, especially the Groundhog's Day one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has this device that throws on a time loop, and it's delicious.
I'll have to get access to CBS All Access to watch all of this.
Yeah, I guess you will.
Or
you can send him a special link.
Yeah. Don't sue Kevin, CBS. or me.
So
I doubt they would sue. I feel like they would just remove my...
Yeah.
But just wait until after Star Trek's done. Thank you.
Yes.
So there are rumors that Captain Marvel is going to be in the Avengers movie.
I hope not.
I hope she is. I
really?
I keep hearing that this is going to be her introduction.
Mm. Yep.
Why do you hope not? I mean, she's been cast for, like, her definitive casting has been around so long, she would almost have to be in this movie. Like, otherwise, why cast her so early?
Right, and I understand that, but I'm looking at it actually more from a filmmaking and storytelling standpoint. How many top billed actors are we going to have in this movie already?
As many as possible.
Many as possible. And just now you're asking to toss in an origin story, basically, for Captain Marvel?
I don't think it'll be an origin story. The rumor is one of two things. Is either one, she has not been mentioned at all other than
Doctor Strange.
And the theory is that either she's working with like Alpha Flight and she's been undercover this entire time, or not Alpha Flight.
Not anymore. But I was gonna say I think Fox did have the theoretical rights to Alpha Flight.
But that she's been undercover the entire time, and that Nick Fury discovers who she is and needs her to help or whatever.
I mean,
or
they could certainly introduce the character as like an end of the movie sort of thing,
right?
And not have to explain her origin, and then just when she gets her movie, go into the origin.
It's going to be her and Sam Jackson, because Sam has accidentally spilled it, and then the writers have spilt it a little bit. So it's either going to be that or
Lego's probably going to spill
and
it.
The thing is that Sam Jackson is trying to recruit her. But the movie itself, Captain Marvel, is supposed to take place in the 50s, so it would have to be a lot of jumping around. Or some people hope they don't do is that they do another popsicle person and they unthaw her.
Oh, sure.
Which would be dumb because they've already done it twice. And they need to stop doing that. Captain America.
And Bucky. Oh, okay.
Correct. So that's kind of the hope that they don't do that. But the theory, either way, Nick Fury, with apparently he doesn't have the eye patch on. And
sweet. He gets an eye back. Awesome.
Yeah. So he's trying to recruit her somewhere.
I hope Tony makes him a new eye.
That would kind of be awesome.
Like he's part RoboCop.
I am kind of surprised with the tech that they have that he didn't get some sort of bionic eyeball and why he kept why he kept his bad eye, other than that he has a special secret code thing with, which, if you would just delete all, anyways.
Yeah.
That scene with the retina scan thing at the end.
I love that scene. It's funny and clever.
It is funny, but I'm like, if you were erasing everything with Nick Fury's access, then it would have that file too.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have more clearance than Robert Redford's character.
Oh, yeah.
So if Robert Redford is the one that's saying, delete all of Nick Fury's access...
Sure.
Nick Fury's, I don't know. Anyways, I'm listening to some back secret.
I was going to say, Nick Fury probably made a secret back door.
He probably did.
Because, you know, it's Sam Jackson. He will always.
But that's me overthinking. That's me overthinking a glorious scene. I did. I also enjoyed that scene. I enjoyed that he pulled that little moment out.
I love that. It's kind of gory, gruesome, and hilarious.
Yeah. And perfect. And works perfect.
So. Yeah. But back to Captain Marvel. No, I really hope that she's not introduced because we're already going to have too many of these meeting stories. You know, Iron Man has to meet Doc Strange. Spider-Man has to meet Doc Strange. Thor and the Guardians. Black Panther and fucking everybody.
Well, and I feel that if... I don't know. I don't think she'll be in the first half of this. I think she'll probably be in the second half because I feel in the first half they're going to be getting their ass kicked. They're going to lose a few Avengers and they're going to be like, we need more people. And... that's when somehow they'll introduce her either in a post-credit scene.
Sure.
And then she'll be in the second half of it. And then she'll get her own movie. Because she's in... when's her movie come out? Anybody? Okay.
As far as I knew, it's actually been pushed back to in development with no year release date at this point.
Proxima Midnight is going to be in Avengers Infinity War?
Who what?
Proxima Midnight.
Oh, yeah, by the way, she's also Miss Marvel is also in the casting bill, I believe, for Infinity War.
Miss Marvel.
Captain Marvel, sorry.
Okay.
And she looks awesome.
Oh, she does. Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah, she sure does.
Man, look at that.
That's nice. Captain Marvel.
Miss
Marvel is a different character. Yes. And oh, my God, would I grow a really confusing chubby for that.
For Ms. Marvel?
Well, yes, because A, I love the character and what the character stands for and what she's all about, but would feel really awkward about it because the character's like 16. It would be like a nerd boner for the fact that we... Yeah.
Just stop.
No, I just said, here's my shovel. Just start pushing the dirt on me, please.
I remember when I was reading comics that I always got confused by Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel.
Well, Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel were the same person for a long time.
Right, and that's why
I may have just read a weird spoiler.
Tell me.
Apparently Proxima Midnight fights Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster armor.
Awesome.
So Bruce is in the Hulkbuster or Hulk is in the Hulkbuster?
Bruce.
Awesome.
I just read this based on yet another Lego set.
Oh, God, Lego. God damn it,
so
Lego.
So each Lego set for the Avengers movie is going to come with an Infinity Stone.
Oh, neat.
Awesome. I think there's going to be like a big, big Thanos that each has like an Infinity Stone that will plug into it.
Can we please have like a Lego set version of the Infinity Gauntlet? That'd be awesome because I would totally display a Lego Infinity Gauntlet.
Absolutely, yeah. Because
in a display case, lit all by itself. It'd be great.
My friend.
Well, see, and here's the thing. It's called the Hulkbuster fight, and the minifigures include Proxima Midnight, Falcon, Hulk, Bruce Banner, and the Soul Stone.
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting. Fucking Lego.
Fucking Lego.
My friend of mine just bought the $800 Millennium Falcon.
Yeah?
Ugh. Yeah. Anyways, that would remind me of a photo I found on Instagram, too. Who would win between a fight between Thanos and... Darkseid.
Thanos and Darkseid?
If Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos. If he does not, Darkseid.
I was actually not going to say that at all.
I think he was asking for opinions, and so I gave mine. Oh, and now you're welcome to give yours.
Well, okay, but it helps if your opinion is right, so...
What are we calling that? Strike four?
It's getting up there. There's a tally somewhere. It's just another click on the clicker.
I guess my opinion on it is that since Darkseid and Thanos are basically the same fucking character, it would be a draw. That is, of course, if it's done by Jack Kirby. If it's done by Jack Kirby, it's a draw.
I'll give you that. Also,
I didn't do it on purpose, but I'm proud of it anyways. But if it's done by anyone else, it depends on the writer, I think, at that point. Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
But you were looking for more, like, characterization versus actual creative quality, but that's fine. I really like the behind the scenes stuff. I love you. I think you're pretty. Anyways. Yeah, the fight between Thanos and Darkseid, if it's Jack Kirby, it's a stalemate. There's no way. He's not going to pick one over the other.
I kind of have to agree with Kevin that if Thanos had the Infinity Gauntlet, him, but if not, I'd almost give it to Darkseid.
And here's how I'm putting this up. Darkseid has defeated Superman.
Yes.
I don't think Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet could. He's about to get beaten by a team that does not have a Superman. The closest they have is a Hulk. And who knows how that's going to play
out. They do have a Hulk. All right, another unpopular opinion. Superman is to the DC Universe as Worf is to Star Trek The Next Generation. When you want to show a super powerful fucking evil badass bad guy, you have him beat up Superman the first time.
I can't go along with that analogy because at least Superman usually wins.
Second time, yeah.
Whereas Worf never wins.
I know.
He is always beaten up.
I know.
Like, in my mind, Yar is a far better fighter than Worf.
Yeah.
Because she at least kicks some ass. Like, the only reason she dies is she goes up against an unstoppable, I can do anything I want, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
And contracts.
and stuff, yeah. Yeah. So anyways.
Yes, if you ever had a chance to go drinking with Denise Crosby, do that shit.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's super fun.
She seems awesome.
Oh, she's an amazing drunk.
Have you drank with Denise Crosby?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She was at a con a few years ago. It was pretty great. I don't remember which one. I just remember. This is when I went to like 7 cons in 1 year. And I don't remember which one it was. But it was at Convergence. It was the Convergence Hotel. So I don't think it must have been like... Maybe it's MarsCon? Maybe MiniCon? I don't know. I don't know. One of those. And yeah. Denise Crosby was there, and she got, so shitty.
That's awesome.
It was.
That was pretty fun. Speaking of celebrities, have you seen the new... You guys ever watch Lip Sync Battle at all?
Of course.
Sometimes.
Awesome. Do you see the new thing, the new tribute they're doing to Michael Jackson?
I heard about it.
Well, I saw the Neil Patrick Harris one.
So
Mike sent it to me.
Right, so there's the Neil Patrick Harris. She's doing the Smooth Criminal, and they just released a new clip from the most recent episode where it was Haley Steinfeld
True Grit.
Yeah, yeah.
Pitch now Perfect,
and she's doing one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs.
Billie Jean. Eat It.
No.
PYT.
Thriller.
No. PYT. Fuck you. PYT is a great song.
Fuck the way you make me feel.
Oh, okay. We got in there eventually. That was my 16th choice.
You should watch this clip.
It got super uncomfortable, everyone.
Yeah.
Now
my comment about PYT isn't so weird, is it?
Wow.
PYT, pretty young man.
Damn it.
So she's singing and dancing, and then there's rain falling, and they're dancing in the rain, and it's hot.
Way to rip off Spider-Man.
Right, chirp. Which is funny because in the music video they're not dancing in the rain. But anyways, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty. She's pretty goddamn hot.
She's a very attractive young woman.
Right, this video is pretty good. Or the little clip of it was pretty awesome. Anyways, so there was that. It looks awesome. I want to see it. All of them, not just that one.
Right.
Because there's
also, maybe that one over and over.
There was also
on a loop. Blinds closed.
What's her name from Orange Is the New Black? Jesus.
I didn't do anything.
Tummy sure did. Well, we did put White Castle on our bodies for some reason. That was a choice we made.
That was a choice. But anyways, I want to see all of them. The whole, I don't know if it's a season or a...
Like which girl from Orange Is the New Black? Ruby Rose?
No.
The main girl, the blonde?
No.
Laura Prepon. In
either of these. No, the barber girl.
Laverne Cox?
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you. Laverne Cox. I couldn't think of her name. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of her name. Laverne Cox is in it. I
love her.
And then, there's a lot of stars that are doing this, apparently. So, and they keep releasing little snidbits of their acts. And so.
He's been saying snidbits since episode 1. Let it go.
been a while.
It looks good.
I got thrown off.
Any nerd grabs from anybody?
Yes.
Yes, Kevin.
So, we bought a couch. And I know that doesn't sound like a nerd grab, but this is kind of a nerdy couch. So it's this big leather, expensive couch. But it has, so the center console comes down and it's illuminated. It has cup holders on both sides, which are LED illuminated with a touch button. And then going around the cup holder, it has more touch buttons where you can automatically recline your legs and your headrest.
Okay. Uh-huh.
This and it has a ton of USB ports and plugs where you can like the center console has actual like wall plugs, so you can plug in our phone.
Sounds
right
like
there.
A fire waiting to happen.
Sure does. No, I can't wait to burn alive with Kevin on this.
The reviews are really good on it because so, nice. It all just it plugs in
right.
through you know
right right.
So and then it has compartments for all of your controllers and stuff. And
awesome.
It's very much this goes beyond the gamer chair to the gamer couch. So I'm pretty.
Does it have a cooler in it? Can you put cold?
It does not have a cooler in it, though. The one that was on the other side of it, the cup holders did have a cooling function.
What? Awesome.
But we didn't like the it wasn't as comfortable, so we went with the other one. And they didn't light up. I thought the lighting up was cooler. So you could either choose lighting up in a more comfortable couch to one that actually cooled your drinks. Which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. That's
stupid future.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited. It should be delivered this week.
Awesome.
It would have come last week, but we had to figure out how to get rid of our old shitty couch.
Chuck it out the window.
Yeah. Burn it.
I don't think our association would appreciate that.
That doesn't matter. Just
burn
it
as
matters
as you're checking it out
the window. It would be.
I brought it down to the garage.
Oh, it would be gratifying for yourselves to just push it out the window.
I'm gonna chop it up into bits and ship it out in the garbage and bit by bit.
Send the manufacturer little pieces.
You know what you should not do is burn it.
I'm not gonna.
I've certainly burned a few couches in my day. And
well, also it's pleather, so.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds awful.
I'm aware.
I'm gonna go with the chopping up into bits thing and just every week ship out more of it in garbage bags.
I'm just saying,
like some kind of weird couch serial killer.
Either he's.
I'm just saying, send chunks of it to the manufacturer. No note, no nothing. Put it all in little Ziploc bags. It
wasn't a bad couch though. Your old one.
Oh, wasn't great either, though.
Well.
Like, the middle section wore out really quick.
Mm.
So my nerd grab is just as cool. No, it isn't. But I got a couple board games, so. This is fun watching you just sort of. So I got a board game called Bottom of the Ninth. It is a baseball board game. Yeah, I know. It's super fun, actually. And the mechanics are surprisingly good. It makes baseball interesting. And the design of the game itself was really what caught my eye because all of the baseball players come on baseball cards.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
So it's all like, you know, that classic sort of, and it's like 50s, 60s style cards. So it's all the, you know, very idealized, brushed up sort of painted cartoony sort of style of baseball players. And they all have goofy names, goofy team names on the bottom. A couple of them have, you know, inside joke names. There's a couple of the designers that got their names on a card. And
right.
It's neat. And then the back of it looks like that old school, like that brown cardboard with the stats on the back. But right. The stats are your mechanics for the character.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's super fun, actually. The mechanics for the game are interesting. It took me a minute to understand them. So it was unfortunately the first two games were one of those games where it was like, I got this rule wrong. We have to change that. So it was two games of the ever changing rules.
Well, you know.
And it is a thing that Bernadette hates when we play board games is when we're reading through rules and you go, oh, well, we did this wrong. Let's do it this way now. And she hates rules changing on her. Mind you, she won both games, so she can fuck right off.
Classic.
But,
classic Bernadette.
And then she passed one of her tests at work. Now she's a fully fledged employee.
Nice.
So I bought her a copy of a game that we played a few months back that she really liked called Number Nine.
Number Nine.
So kind of a theme with the two games.
Yeah, a little bit. Not on purpose, but Yeah, we were going for that Yoko Ono style. I know what you did.
Was it? Is it based on that movie about the little burlap sack kids? No,
I wish it was. But no, it's a sort of abstract game in which you get these tiles that have, I believe, 9 squares on them. And the 9 squares, so they're all in the shape of numbers. And so you put them on the table, and you're sort of just trying to make sort of a Tetris-y puzzle thing on one level, and then you go up a level, and then you'll start scoring points on the second level, and those points will relate to the numbers you're putting down. So what you want to do is like build the bottom level with zeros, ones, and twos, and second level with, you know, still zeros, ones, and twos, but you can move up to like threes, fours, or fives, because now you'll start scoring points on those. And every level up, it goes up. So first level is 0 points. Second level is the number times one. Third level, number times two. Fourth level, number times three. I don't know. It's a very cool game. It's a lot of fun. Very abstract and really quite interesting, in my opinion.
But,
yeah. Those are my nerd grabs. Not as cool as light up cup holders, but I think they're fun.
Space couch.
And only and altogether, because I got with the baseball game, bottom of the ninth, I got the base game plus two expansion packs, which also super cool packaging. They came in baseball card form.
Oh, I was hoping.
Yeah. And each of them said with stick of gum inside, and I loved that. Because there's a little point counter thing inside the package on one side, and then on the other side, it looks like gum.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's really clever.
I like it.
But yeah, so they come in those foil packs, and so I got two of those expansions, the hitter's pack and the pitcher's pack, and altogether that game cost me $25.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, the game plus two expansions, $25.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
And then 30 for number nine.
Number nine?
So mine is, thanks to our friend Graham, I now acquired a Poe Dameron helmet for dirt cheap. Because he texted me, he's like, "Hey, I found this. It's only $40. Do you want it?" I'm like, "Yes." So I know we haven't met up to get it, but I have acquired that now.
That reminds me, I got to go over to his place and buy that Megazord. I could probably do that today.
Yeah. And then by the time that this airs, and probably I will be posting it while I'm sitting in the airport. I'm going to Vegas this week, so...
Fuck you.
That'll be fun.
Oh, wait, never mind. I'm going to Disney in, like, a week and a half.
Going to Vegas in, like, a month.
Yeah. There you go. We're all traveling. So, yeah, so those aren't... I mean, they're not huge nerd grabs, but I'm pretty excited about the Poe Dameron helmet, and...
It's pretty cool.
I kept bugging Graham.
If you're like me, you're going to have to take out the ear pad parts. They're just Velcroed on, so they're really easy to take out. But sure. Yeah, with those in, it's a wee bit snug.
Probably. So, yeah, I'm excited about Vegas and get to go to a little thing called SHOT Show and go look at some futuristic guns and stuff. Awesome.
Cool.
Next episode, I think, we'll have special guests. I think we're going to have Lee and Amanda because you'll be gone.
Oh, yeah, I'll be gone because I'll be in Florida. Yeah,
so I think we're going to get Lee and Amanda come in and talk about the little film project we worked on.
You should have come in. I know you were having a thing, but like, I think it would have picked up your spirits. It was so much fun.
It was. It was, and we'll certainly talk about that. But we'll just the name of the movie was Kit's Revenge, and we'll talk about that. And we'll post a little thing that's part of a film festival called Z Fest, which is a local festival for amateur and semi-professional filmmakers to put their showcase their works and have a little competition, a little friendly film competition, and we were a part of that. I was sad we couldn't be there day two, but day one was pretty awesome. Pretty cool to be on, like, the production value was really high, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll talk more about that next time.
I was really excited to meet Scott. He's a cool dude.
Right?
He wants to be on the lair so bad.
Yeah, well, he wants to be on the lair, and then he wants to also be, I know he said he wanted to come on this show once.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let the audience know who Scott is. Scott is a semi-professional wrestler, built like a very big wrestler.
He's gigantic.
He's like the American Colossus. The dude is huge. And he's a lot of fun and real friendly, super cool dude.
Super friendly.
And then, of course, his like best friend who was there as well was like the opposite, who's also a professional wrestler. A very tiny dude. I forget his name. David was...
That's him?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the dude's huge.
Jesus Christ.
He's
Good God.
So if we have a wrestling episode, he would obviously want to come on here. And he's got his own stuff too, podcasts and a mini series where apparently he's flying out in the next couple weeks to go film part of this YouTube series that he's on with Hulk Hogan. He's just going to go chill out with Hulk Hogan for a couple days.
Yeah, like you do. Like you do. Yeah, just... Like I'm going over to the Hulk's house.
Yeah.
He's like, we're gonna
call him Terry. It's cool.
I'm like, what are you gonna do? He's like, we're gonna work out. We're gonna like have food, like go to dinner, lunch, whatever.
You know, film a weird sex tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird sex tape.
How were we not on the same page on that one?
So yeah. So we'll talk more about that next time. And of course, obviously, you can find us on Geek by Numbers as well as The Lair, Late to the Party, Villain Coffee, Hero Tea. Digital and Vellum, all of which are still there. Villain Coffee Hero Tea is back recording episodes, so
yep.
Those are up.
Excellent.
Is there anything else you guys want to pimp, put out there?
Nothing to pimp yet. We are, within the next couple weeks, going to have a read-through of Season 2.
Yeah!
So that should be incoming soon. There are a couple of parts I need to fill for minor characters who... the story pending will return, but they're just kind of little bit parts for this season. One I think I might actually give to Scott.
Awesome.
But the other one I need a female to go on a date with our Judy. So
is this? Oh, I think I know what episode you're talking about.
The dates night episode is the one that Izzy was also a guest starring on.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She actually that part will be in two different episodes.
I'm excited to get filming again. I'm not gonna lie. I may have rewatched the first season like last week.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about talking to the girl who was the production assistant, the one who was running around getting water and coffee and stuff.
Yeah, Lauren.
She might be good for that role.
Awesome. Or if there are other ladies interested, send us a message, and Kevin will push pass along to Kevin, and he can. Message you on the Book of the Face or whatever. And
then I need a few henchmen for the finale. So I need a few rando dudes.
Yeah, sure. We'll definitely talk about that filming location on the next episode, I think.
Yeah, because it's perfect. It's going to be great for the finale.
So yeah, so anything else?
How many times have you seen Star Wars Episode 8 in theaters?
In theaters?
Yeah.
Twice.
Twice?
Only twice.
Once.
Yeah.
I've only seen it the once.
Three times for me. It gets better every time. It really does.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see that? I posted it on our Facebook, the Best Threesome Ever Facebook page, but it's like kids doing the... like, they're reenacting the scene where the guy, like, licks the salt, and he's like, "What? But why are you... Okay, that's weird." Like, the kid's like, "Why would you lick the ground? But that's cool. Whatever, dude." It's pretty funny. These kids, they have, like, Nerf guns. Like, they're ready to battle. Like, they're in the trench.
Also, fuck you.
Right? Dude. You're welcome for giving you that massive debt.
Okay, so just to explain to the listeners real quick. Kevin found this video of a Nerf rival, Kronos, which is the 40 count capacity Nerf rival rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Say that five times fast.
Right.
Yeah. And this guy modded it to basically be the Ghostbusters Proton Pack with 2,000 a 2,000 foam ball capacity, and he rejiggered the electronics inside to make the flywheels fire the little foam balls out at 70 miles an hour, 20 rounds per second.
He basically invented the Nerf railgun.
I was about to say, you just made a minigun.
It looks disgusting.
It's awesome.
It looks... I will repeat the comment I made. That looks unhealthy.
That looks awesome.
I will repeat your brother's comment.
I feel that he just made the Nerf version of the minigun from Predator.
Predator, yeah. I was thinking Jesse Ventura's gun all the way.
No, that makes sense. Oh, my God. The thing is gross.
It's delicious.
I saw it. It's so heavy. Bad. No,
not that.
He's Predator. He's referencing the story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen Predator.
What's wrong with you?
What the fuck?
Go watch it now.
All right, this has been episode 53. No.
I was gonna minigun.
Oh,
my friend went to a birthday party this weekend, and my friend was talking about his kids in their neighborhood. A lot of the kids have the little racer car things, and all the kids have them. And well, apparently, like now it's kind of become like a fun like war battle thing with them, like driving them around and blah blah blah. He's like, well, my kid's got to be armed. And he's got like he got his kid like the four wheeler one. Mm-hmm. He's like
the Nerf four wheeler.
No, the four wheeler like rider power thing wheels. For his kid. Power wheels, yeah. Power wheels are the huge thing. And he's like, my kid's got to get armed. So he bought his kid like one of those dual Nerf guns. Got the ammos on both sides and blah blah.
Oh, I know which one that is. Yeah, that thing is.
He's gonna mount it to his four wheeler, so his to the awesome. So the passenger can go out there and. And start. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, that's phenomenal. I'm so proud of you.
Basically, made a Power Wheels Nerf Warthog.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Warthog? Why are they called a Warthog?
Really? Really? You're referencing Gravity? Yeah. I know it is.
It's funny. Because
Red vs. Blue is awesome. Fucking especially hilarious. The email segment.
Yes. Here. Give me that.
Would you like a bigger penis? Where would you like it? Sarge is the best.
You're light pink. I'm not. You're pink. I'm not pink. I'm light red. I'm
light red.
Light red is pink. No, it's not.
In the event of a water landing.
I'm watch that now. Thank you.
I have it on now DVD. Well,
it's on Netflix.
Man, it's a whole Netflix. Series.
Is it?
A whole series is on Netflix.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I haven't watched it in so long.
So try watch it. I'm going to watch it again now.
All right. So this has been best threesome ever. Brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
Goodbye! Bye now.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.